welcome to the weekly hotspot. I'm Olivia, and I'm here with my BFF and my partner, Ms. Delia. Hi, Ms. Delia. How's life in Mistress Land?
Hey, hey, hey. Oh, Miss Olivia, things are actually fabulous, and I will tell you why. Today begins my anniversary month at LDW, so I am so excited and pumped for that. So I would love if everyone would stay tuned to my blog, begformistress.com, because I am going to have anniversary surprises coming up all month long.
I don't think people realize it, but anniversaries are super special. So in the mistress interview that I did with Ms. Alley, November is LDW Group's anniversary month. So in November, there's going to be specials and ideas and parties and all that kind of stuff. Well, hey, hey, start a month earlier with Ms. Delia, and then everybody gets 2 months worth of good.
Oh, yes, yes. And isn't this our 16th anniversary coming up at LDW?
I know. I was like, oh, wow, that's a really long time. And Allie started laughing and she's like, yeah. And you know, the interesting thing when I was talking to her, I was like, so what was your vision with LDW? And she goes, oh, I didn't really have a vision. I just kind of started it.
And look how far we've come. It's amazing.
I know. An empire built one stroke at a time.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
So how was your cruise? You just got back recently, and I love hearing all of the, you know, kind of behind the scenes naughtiness that you do when you go on vacation. How was it?
We actually, as you know, Hurricane Florence was kind of just sitting there churning very slowly. So we weren't sure what would happen. We didn't go to our initial destination. They had to change our itinerary. And then they changed it again when Florence shifted and moved toward North Carolina. So we had more sea days and only made it to 1 to 2 ports. We had a lot of days on the ocean, thinking that something would be happening like that. We packed a lot of toys. I packed lots of my strap-ons. Oh, we had some bonds going on. The only things we couldn't really bring were electrics or anything to do with wax play, because you obviously can't have fire on a cruise ship. But everything was just so much fun. Impact play, flogging, found ways to do lots of things. At one point, I had Jack tied outside on the balcony to the balcony, and I was teasing him for like an hour. And this was at midnight when it was pitch black. It was erotic. It was sexy. It was a little bit scary. It was just amazing.
You know what? That's what makes it so great. When it's just a little bit scary, you kind of push those limits and those erotic limits and boundary play. It's edge play. That's fun.
Exactly. And it made, you know, another night on the ocean of staring at the ocean just a little bit different. And really fucking sexy, because, you know, the cabins are close together, and if other people are sitting out, they can't see you above or below you, but they can hear you. So he had to be so quiet. And oh, I just, my goal was to make him scream, but, you know, I didn't. I was good.
That's the juxtaposition of why erotic play is so much fun. It is sweet and spicy, or the sweet and sour, the sweet and salty, the opposites that taste so great together of sex. Mm-hmm. And all sorts of erotic play, not just necessarily just sex, but even the mental part of erotic play. Now, I love it that you talk about your real-life kinky adventures on your blog, begformistress.com. Do you think that's one of the reasons why callers call and talk to you about relationship issues in their own lives?
That's a really good question. And I think, yes, absolutely, that answer is yes. For me, I have always, since I started here at LDW, I have always wanted to give that peek behind the curtain. I have no problem talking about my real life. I mean, of course, I keep some things private, but sexually, I think sharing is an amazing way to help people feel safe to open up and share back. So it's easy for me to get people to open up to me. I actually have a lot of people ask things like, well, how can I make my relationship kinkier? Or you do chastity with your husband. What's a way that I can introduce chastity to my wife? And I love great sex. I love great relationships. I like making them kinkier and better. So I love talking with someone. I love talking with a couple, man, woman, whatever. I love it all. And it's good.
Overall, let's talk about why it's sometimes easier to talk with a mistress than to talk with a face-to-face partner. Why do you suppose that is?
You know, I think a couple of things. I think the phone offers some anonymity. I recently had gotten an email from someone who said, Miss Delia, I'm really looking to only do something on the phone. I've talked to cam girls in the past, but I'd rather be anonymous because I can't share as much. If I'm staring at someone or they're staring at me, there's some block for me. And to me, I went, wow, okay, that makes a lot of sense.
You know, I think it's not just that, but as you were saying that, it made me think, you know, visually, there's also a lot going on. Mm-hmm. So, you know how conversations with us go. A 1 minute we're in the scene and it's hot and heavy, and then the next minute, just like life, it veers off and it can go in an intimate side, a serious side, a funny side, or whatever. And if you're staring at this cam girl who's shoving a dildo in and out of her pussy going, oh, baby, it's distracting.
It is. You lose focus. And, you know, we are experienced mistresses. We are. And we know a lot. And I think that's why people know that they can confide in us and we can be focused on what they're talking about. And it's not just about oohing and aahing. It's about everything that's real.
Now, you mentioned experienced. Both of us play in real life, and we've talked about this before. We got this comment from men. And it was part of the erotic humiliation episode, the mind-fucking part. Yep. And Min goes, he pointed out that mind-fucking can be used to modify behavior in a sub in real-life situations like personal growth and erotic pleasure performance. He's absolutely right. Then he wanted to know if the power of mind-fucking can be used to modify the behavior of a chronic masturbator. Okay, so first of all, Min obviously is a chronic masturbator.
Yep.
So he's asking for himself, unless someone writes in with this question and goes, I'm asking for a friend. Okay.
Tag asking for a friend. Love that.
Can't you imagine sitting around in a bar with your guy friends or your couples? So you're out with several couples and you look at them and you just kind of blurt out as the second round of drinks comes around, do you think mind fucking can be used to modify a chronic masturbator? I really think I'm jacking off way too much.
Yeah.
Like, where do you ask a question like that? And I'm just using that as an example. Where do you talk about these things in our society, in our culture?
Yeah. You can't talk about that really anywhere in public because it's just not socially acceptable. So you need to speak to someone who has experience with exactly those kinds of things. But I will tell you, I do sit sometimes at a bar or restaurant and talk to Jack about those types of things. But that's because I'm me and I do what I do and I love kink. But most people know. So if people have questions like Nim does, You need to ask someone with that type of experience who will actually know how to answer it. You know, I won't ask my car mechanic how to grow a flower.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
Now, you and I are lucky. We have people in our face-to-face life that we can have those sorts of conversations over dinner, in a gathering, at a bar, etc. But every time I look and I see, for example, two people who are obviously married or they're obviously a couple, and they're, say, sitting there eating dinner. And it's almost like the two people are totally separate. They're not looking at each other. They're not talking. Mm. They're not interacting. You get kind of this, well, I'm with you, but I'm not really with you kind of energy or vibe. I sit there and I think, if I were her, I would have trouble talking to him. Or if I were him, I would have trouble talking to her. How do you begin to open yourself up and have these tough conversations, which are very exposed and vulnerable?
I think a lot of people, and you do see that so much, even, you know, people in a fancy restaurant, both on cell phones, things like that, and they're not talking. And you know that they must want to talk about something. In general, people want to talk. So those tough conversations, you need to speak to someone who knows what they're talking about. People have all kinds of kinks and wonders and thoughts. And I mean, what? They say we think about sex once every 7 seconds. So that's a hell of a lot of time that we're thinking about sexual things. We're wondering about sexual things, but we're not really talking about it all the time in our work meetings, in restaurants. You're absolutely right. So, you know, we can offer just a very good sounding board for any questions about life, relationship, kink, not sex, you know, all kinds of things.
And, you know, another thing that I think is so important is that we are not judgmental. If someone talks to us about something that is not a personal interest of ours, we'll just very graciously, firmly, and bluntly say, that's not my interest. Let me send you back to the dispatcher. I suggest that you talk to this woman, this woman, this woman, or go back to the dispatcher and ask her, or that sort of conversation is not offered here. But that's a very, even if that's a no, that's a very different conversation than, oh my God, ew.
Right.
Which is,
Oh yeah, I hear that. And I actually do speak to someone who had, and this is very interesting, who had a conversation. He was with his girlfriend. They were, you know, just having a hot and heavy time, and they were having sex, and he orgasmed inside of her. And she was still so excited that, you know, in the heat of the moment, she was like, oh, lick my pussy. I want to come again. So he ate his own cum. Well, for him, that became kind of a fetish, the cum eating. He loved that. But the next day, she woke up with the embarrassment of, oh, wait a minute. I'm a good girl. What did I just make him do? He ate cum. Does that mean he wants to suck cock? And truthfully, it went bad from there. So yeah. It's hard. It's hard. And you sometimes people just don't have a way to talk about those hot and sexy things that happened.
Even if they do have the courage to bring it up, like I'm thinking of someone with a foot fetish and it also cum eating, because you mentioned cum eating as mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he actually talked to his wife about it. Mm-hmm. And she's like, okay, well, I'll try. Good for her for getting it, for trying to get it, to trying to do it. And it just wasn't her thing. Yeah. I mean, it just wasn't. When you're already in a relationship and you try to introduce some sort of new behavior, you're always running a risk.
Right. And sometimes it's worth more to the person to take that risk and see what happens than to never say it. They have that bravery. They feel it. They're brave. They're ready. They do it. They say it. And sometimes when the stars align, it absolutely works out. Other times it doesn't. But what I like doing is, I'll be honest, I like talking to people before that. Sometimes people can be really blunt and just sort of blurt out, oh, yeah, I thought about sucking cock. Or I
want to. Oh, that's not good. I never recommend that. I'm like, okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. Some people actually get so bottled up that by the time they do say whatever it is, it just like spews out all over the place. And no wonder their partner is like, fuck no.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And we can be, you know, kind of the person that says, whoa, no. You don't want to say that. In fact, I've had this experience with someone who's wanted to say that about 5 times. And this is what I have suggested. And let's try this and go in little teeny steps. And we'll see if that works for you better.
Okay, so I tried that with a foot fetish guy. And the little teeny tiny steps advice. Mm-hmm. And he didn't want to do that.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay. So he was like, yeah, but I'm tired of that. I've been thinking about this for 25 years with this woman. And I'm like, okay, but does she know that you've been trying to tell her this for 25 years? No. In her world, it's something completely out of the blue. Don't do it that way. Well, make a long story short, he did not take my advice, blurted it out. She was polite, but it didn't go well. And who knows, if he had taken it slowly, massaged her feet at first, not pushed her. Women hate to be pushed.
Exactly.
What you do with a woman, and truthfully, actually with anybody, but especially men and women, I see men, they just push and push and push and push and push. The more you push, the more you irritate the woman, whether or not you get your own way. The way to do it is drop a hint, tell her bluntly, and then stop. Let her come to you. And it may take more time than you want, but if you let her come to you, then boom. It's golden, or it tends to go a lot better.
You know, that's very, very interesting to me. You know, you're talking about something that's near and dear to my heart, foot fetishes. I have a fetish for men with a foot fetish, but Jack is not into foot fetishes at all. So we've had those hard conversations where I really like it. He'll give me a foot massage, but I want someone who really loves it. So thinking about your guy, maybe they could negotiate, or I don't know if they go to fetish events, but one thing that we've negotiated is going to fetish events. I always head over to the foot fetish station and just get some loving on my feet. So I don't know.
Absolutely. That's one of the advantages of having sensible conversations about kinks, fetish, desires, needs, because then you can figure out some kind of solution, workaround, compromise, whatever. If it's a blurt or a push, or if the woman is like, God, will you stop asking me to do blah, blah, blah? Or the man is like, you know, God, cut it out. Stop pressuring me. I see it more from men to women.
Right.
With that pressure, there's persistence. There's always resistance. Once that resistance is there, it's really hard to figure out a way to come up with a workable compromise that makes everybody happy. Jack loves it when you go over to the foot fetish stuff. He is perfectly happy. He's happy because you're happy.
Oh, yeah. He's thrilled. And usually, you know, that's the time where he'll go sit, and he has places that he likes to sit, you know, in the quiet spaces that they have, where he can just chill out and get into his own headspace, because he knows when I come back, I'm going to be so ready to go because that's a good thing for me. And being open and honest with me that he couldn't do that made me so much more happy than him doing it and only doing a half-assed, half-hearted job. I would rather have that wonderful compromise where I can get exactly what I want than have him hate what he's doing. You know what I mean?
I completely know what you mean, and that's so true. Let's also be honest about Jack, right? If he's cock-locked, if he's in chastity at that event, then let me tell you, he's going to want you to be very happy.
Oh, hell yes.
Yeah, exactly. So speaking of non-judgmental stuff, I want to share this this comment that I got from Yvonne. You know Yvonne.
She's she's
like, I love her so much. I mean, she's so beautiful. She has taught me a whole bunch of makeup tips. I got to tell you, you look at her skin and she's got flipping gorgeous, gorgeous skin.
Nice.
So we talk as two girls. Well, she sent me this about us being non-judgmental. She said, yes, you are all therapists. I have a choice to find someone to talk about dressing locally or call Ms. Olivia and talk with a real friend. First off, I know I'm not going to be judged by Ms. Olivia. This is so much better than spending Lord knows how much laying on a therapist's couch when I just want an opinion on my latest dress purchase or my makeup in this particular dress. Right? Like, isn't that just, I love that you talk about being honest. That is honest. And then Yvonne continues, our relationship has given me so much peace of mind. I always want to look my best and be my feminine best. And I don't think a local therapist is going to give me that. I am done with the self-analysis. I don't need to be analyzed. I know who I am. I got that and I just burst into tears. And I was cheering and I'm going, yes, that's it.
I don't need to be analyzed. I know who I am. You fucking go, girl. Yes.
Absolutely. And I don't care what your gender is, what your identification is, what your kink is, what your fetish, what your sexual needs. That sentence is the single most important thing that any human being can learn. I don't need to be analyzed. I know who I am. Wow.
Yeah, powerful. We should all aspire to be able to say that sentence every single day. Every single day.
Well, now, you know what? I personally think we should all aspire to get some ball gowns that Yvonne has because she's got some really kicking outfits. Okay.
And, you know, maybe some makeup tips too.
Advice, dressing, hair and makeup tips. It's all in one package with Yvonne.
Love it.
So I do think that all of these things are kind of not mutually exclusive, right? All of these things kind of wrap together in one as to why it's important to talk to a mistress, why it's important to talk to you, why it's important to talk to me, or, oh yeah, talk to two of us together.
Woo-hoo. Anniversary hint, anniversary hint. There might be some specials with the two of us coming up in October.
Keep looking at my blog, experiencedmistress.com. I'll be cross-posting with Ms. Delia. And keep up with Ms. Delia on her blog, begformistress.com. I know I love talking to you about all things kink and non-kink, everything from personal to professional. I always check in with you when I've got an idea for a blog post that's maybe just not your quote-unquote normal phone sex blog post. You always give me smart advice. And most importantly, we have fun together. So next week, in honor of your anniversary, fetish play.
Yes.
why 50 Shades of Grey and 50 Shades of anything is just absolute fucking bullshit.
Yep. Oh my God, yes.
You mentioned before that you have kind of a reputation of being super, super hardcore, this mean mistress kind of thing, but you're not. You are kind and loving and sensual. And let's talk about the difference between sensual and hardcore play and kind of differentiate the play from the mistress.
Yes. Yes, that's perfect. And you really made me sound really nice there. Thank you.
Well, you know, you are my BFF.
Yeah.
I mean, not just at work and when we do our distance domination on the phone, but in all sorts of aspects of my personal life, my professional life.
Our whole lives.
Yes, exactly.
Yep.
We are bonded at the hip.
We share the same brain.
Yeah, but you know what? The only thing that would be better is if I had smaller feet or if you had bigger feet, because then you and I would wear the exact same shoes, because thigh-high leather, Italian leather boots are expensive.
Yeah.
I wish we could share that.
Oh, me too. Wow.
I know.
Uh-huh. We do.
Okay.
Have fun.
Well, woo. We do. Thank you to everyone for your comments, questions, hotspot ideas. We love it when you inspire us as much as we inspire you. Send us an email. I'm Olivia at enchantrixempire.com. Delia is Delia at enchantrixempire.com.
You can listen to all the weekly hotspot episodes on our blog, theweeklyhotspot.com. Each episode can be heard on Cock Radio on Spreaker at 1 p.m. Eastern every Monday. So remember, next week, fetish play. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for listening today. And remember, stay sexy and stay hot.